Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening's show is about natural healing with acupuncture, and our guest is acupuncturist Martha Hall. Martha Hall is an acupuncturist and herbalist and is California state licensed and has a national certification from the Commission of Acupuncture and Oriental Medicine. She is also a primary care provider in California. Martha holds a Master's of Science degree in traditional Chinese medicine from an accredited four-year acupuncture school. And this is actually a really awesome acupuncture school if anybody's ever interested in going. It's the Pacific College of Oriental Medicine in San Diego, California. Martha has also studied at Chengdu University of Traditional Chinese Medicine in Chengdu, China. And she's completed the International Traditional Chinese Medicine Training Program, which includes Chinese herbal medicine and acupuncture. She currently has a successful practice in San Juan Capistrano, California, where she treats patients with a variety of ailments from neurological, allergies, menopause, depression, and much more. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my awesome co-hosts. Steve, how are you tonight?
Extremely well, thank you, Brenda. How are you?
Very well as well.
Good.
Could you tell us about what you do?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium like Bobby, so I connect with spirit. My passion is proving the continued existence of the soul and doing whatever I can to channel guidance and support for clients.
I like that, the continued existence of the soul. I've never really actually heard it put that way, but that's really nice. Thank you. And Maureen, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
Except for a little oops.
I did my meditation. Yes, I'm okay. Yes, thank you.
She just fell off the chair, that's all.
I'm on a couch, okay? I'm laying down. I have a therapy session going on. I just like...
At the same time.
I'm joking.
Hi, Doc. Okay. I think I'm psychic, and...
It's a leather couch, too. Anyway, yeah,
okay, so just... Would you like me to rephrase it instead
now,
of... Would tell us about your expertise?
I'll tell you what I do, or I tell you what I don't do. No, what I am is an empath. I'm also a psychic intuitive. A tarologist. I'm very well versed in tarot, and actually, I do believe that tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. I believe that to no end. And what I do is help people in the direction that they may not have thought about going. And I'm really interested in spiritual development with people that come to me. And because of my own past experiences, I feel that I'm in a good position to do that because I've had a lot of, as we all have, as a lot of us on the show have, can really say we've had a lot of our things that have been difficult. It's difficult, but I love my work. And I've been doing it for 25 years or so. Yeah, 25 years professionally. There you have it.
Well, thank you. Yes, we are all seasoned psychics. And Bobby, tell
Hello.
Us a little bit about yourself. Hello, darling.
Hello, lovely. How are you? Things all right?
Steve's rubbing off on us.
You know, and is that such a bad thing, really?
No, not really.
I'm going to say no. So I am also a psychic medium, psychic part of it, tuning into people and questions that they have about their spiritual development and understanding. And then mediumship, which I think is a really amazing form of healing when you're connecting with people who have crossed over. Sometimes people refer to it as like one last time, but I think that they come through often enough. It just helps in the healing process, that if we haven't completed with that person, or just basically want to know that they're okay and that they've crossed over okay. So kind of tune into to both those areas and absolutely have a passion for it like all of us do.
And that is so needed now, too, especially this time of year, the dark part of the year.
I think it's a healing, isn't it? I think we need to, it's almost like I see people, sometimes I get flashes of being in the corner of a boxing match, you know, and we're in the corner. Mm-hmm. Getting the rub down and getting prepared for the, you know, not necessarily for a fight, but just getting ourselves really prepared and really well so that we can go in and play the big game, you know.
Rub down?
Mm, oh, I know. My ears perked up on that.
Maureen perks up, yeah. Oh, you ladies, behave.
And, well, thank you, Bobby. And then myself, I am a traditional psychic. I do tarot, crystal ball, playing cards. I do palms, but I can't exactly do that over the internet. I am a predictive psychic, and I work at psychicaccess.com as well. So, acupuncture, and I can't say enough good things about acupuncture because I've had personal experience with it, and I know that it's fabulous. It dates back to around 5,000 BC, probably even more than that, but that's, you know, most of the documentation is around that. It happens to be a form of treatment that's been effectively recommended by the World Health Organization, the WHO, of the United Nations for being effective in resolving hundreds of health-related problems, including various cancer and rehabilitation treatments. Acupuncture is gentle, at the same time natural and holistic. It is successful in the determination as well as the diagnosis of health issues and works by encouraging the body to promote its own means of recovery as well as methods of natural healing for improving the general functioning of the body. So let us welcome Martha. Martha, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
Pretty good, yeah. Thinking about the acupuncture needles and, you know, as we're speaking. So first, Martha, you know, how did you become interested in natural healing and acupuncture? I mean, did you have an acupuncture session? Is that what started it? What started it?
Actually, I never had a session until after I started school. But I was always raised with natural medicine, as my aunt was a healer in Mexico. She was considered the town doctor because in those days they didn't have doctors in the towns. My mom is 80 years old, and her sister is 18 years older than that. So figure back in those times. So everything that I do, my aunt has done except the acupuncture. So all the different modalities I was raised with. And then when I became a mother myself, I would literally take my children to Tijuana, Mexico, and have them see an herbalist. And she would check their tongue and pulse and ask questions, give a herbal prescription and out the door, and they'd be fine with no problems at all. And even when my son had asthma, we were on vacation one time in Mexico, and we took him to an acupuncturist, and he was fine within 40 minutes. Whereas before, he'd have to stay in the hospital for hours.
And so, well, I wasn't aware that they were so into acupuncture down in Mexico, or that they do they combine it with the herbs of the area, or is it mostly all Oriental medicine down there?
In Mexico, they use more of their own herbs. It wasn't more Chinese herbs.
Mm-hmm.
But this was maybe 20 years ago or so. And I'm sure they've now incorporated more Chinese herbs.
Mm-hmm.
But in the hospitals, I've noticed for them to be separate at this time.
Well, so tell us, because everybody's going to want to know, and I get asked about acupuncture all the time by clients, you know, do you think this is going to help me? What if I do acupuncture? You know, how does acupuncture differ from modern medicine? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, first of all, we're not at all in competition with Western medicine. as actually we complement each other very well. So what Western medicine can't treat, Chinese medicine is usually very good at, and vice versa. But the thing about Chinese medicine, it treats the root of the problem, not just the signs and symptoms. So in doing this, there's one would have a less likely chance of the problem returning. Acupuncture is treated differently to each patient, as each patient is unique. So we get different results. I have a patient comes in for, say, menopause, and they're back-to-back patients, even the same age. They could even be sisters. They would be treated differently because each one is different. And so that's where we differ in Western medicine. And even to give an herb prescription, they're done usually specifically to that patient. And so our main goal is to get to the root of the problem so it doesn't return, where you go to a regular doctor, they're going to give you a prescription no matter what the root is.
They're just to treat the actual symptom, not the root of it, in other words,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Well, it makes a lot more sense to get to the root of it. I mean, you want to heal your body.
Yes.
Right?
And that's how it should be. And it's been for thousands of years, and they still call it our medicine. They call it New Age. It's been in the LA Times, I think 2 weeks ago, we came out in the LA Times how acupuncture is being implemented into the hospitals as a New Age form of treatment. But in reality, it's not New Age. It's very old age.
Well,
but
some insurance plans are carrying it now, too.
So that's fine.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, so it's getting a lot of credibility. I mean, you can't deny
Absolutely.
It. I mean, tell us about some of your, like incredible, like, success stories. I want to know one.
Well, one of my favorites is when I was actually doing an internship in San Diego. It was a seniors clinic that was pretty much donating my time for seniors that couldn't afford acupuncture. It was free to them, so they had to be on the low income. And I recall one of patient coming in. He was about 69 years old, and he had no use of his left side. He had, for 5.5 years, paralysis had set in from a stroke, and it never he never got use of it again. And so when I met him, I noticed he had two files that dated back for years since he had the stroke. And so I just basically said, listen, let's not waste your time. Did you ever have a really good treatment here and you notice a difference? And he said, yes. And so I referred to that treatment. I realized I did scalp acupuncture on the patient. So I said, okay. And that's what I did for him. So for 3.5 weeks, coming in 3 times a week, I treated him with every modality that was needed for him. And one was scalp acupuncture, which I know a
what
lot of...
What is scalp acupuncture?
Yeah, a lot of traditional Americans are scared to do scalp acupuncture, but it's very much needed when it's a stroke patient. But after 3.5 weeks, he was on the table and his leg rose to a 90-degree angle, the left
wow.
side.
Wow. That's
and
amazing.
He just got better after that. So it was amazing because by the time I was done, he was getting use of his body again. He can move his arm and his leg, and he was actually almost coming to a full walk. It was very rewarding for me.
Well, there you go. It was probably a very, you know, I mean, there's the proof. I mean, I think if you get into something as a healer and you keep, you know, receiving proof of the success, I mean, it must make you, you know, just very excited, you know, about
oh, yes.
the things that you do, huh?
Oh, absolutely, to say the least. I considered it a pleasure to do what I do in helping others and seeing the results. It's very, very rewarding. I absolutely love what I do.
Well, you know, a lot of people, when you tell them about acupuncture, they go, oh, gosh, the needles, ah, you know, something like that. And I remember back in the 70s when I got some of my first acupuncture sessions, they didn't have the disposable needles. And those needles were big. Those were
yes.
big. And but nowadays, tell us a little bit about the needles. Are needles the only thing that are used in acupuncture?
No, it is not. The needles that we use is a one-time sterile filiform needles that do not hurt. They're the size of a cat whisker. And they are put into different parts of the body depending on the ailment that one is coming in for. I actually did an internship in the Rady's Children's Hospital in San Diego where my patients were stage 4 cancer patients. And we would call the needles tickle sticks. And they had no problem with being treated with acupuncture, but because they were called tickle sticks. If we would have said the word needle, I think we had a different reaction. but they do not hurt at all. And people that are scared, I usually talk to them for a while, and I have them turn around, and I'll put the needle in, and they don't know what's in there. And once they realize that it really does not hurt, then we go on with the rest of the treatment.
But, well, you know, is the Chinese the only culture, or are there other cultures that use the acupuncture needle? Now, do the Japanese or the Koreans or
yes.
the other?
Of course, and they have different. They're known for their own way of acupuncture, where the Koreans are known for the using the hand a lot. The French are known for the auricular, which is the ear. The Germans mm-hmm. also use acupuncture. And like I said, in Mexico has been doing it for since 25 years that I know of. So I think pretty much all over acupuncture that I've been to, it's being used. And
but it originated in the Orient, right?
Yes, it did. It did.
It originated in the Orient.
Yes, it did. And it was brought to the United States in the 1960s when Nixon was president. Reporter went to do a report on him, and he broke his arm and had to go to the hospital, and that's where he was introduced to acupuncture, and he was amazed that he came home and wrote a book about it.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. Well, there is something that's a little known fact, definitely. People go through all kinds of, you know, gyrations a lot of times, trying to find the source of their illness, trying to get healed. When all else fails, a lot of times they turn to acupuncture. Do you find that a lot of patients come to you after everything else has failed?
Oh, yes, I see that quite often. It's usually as a last resort when they've tried everything else, usually a lot of chronic pain, diseases, or worse, even cancer. I get a lot of cancer patients, and that's what I like to specialize in because I have amazing results with that as long as they're doing exactly what they should be doing with Chinese herbs, diet, protocol. And with the Western treatment, the results are amazing. They come out with cancer almost free by the end of the treatments.
I have heard that, and I have had some clients and some friends who have been treated that have come out of a situation like cancer situation like that. Now, if a person's in chemotherapy, would it help them go through the symptoms, or how would it help them? Does it strengthen the body?
Absolutely. What I do with when they're going through the chemo, a lot of times the white blood counts get down to so low. I do mm-hmm. some Chinese herbs along with acupuncture for the nausea, the vomiting. Anything that's needed, I will work with the patient, but more importantly is the diet. A lot of times cancer patients don't die from the chemo, it's from the diet, the malnutrition. They don't know which way to go, and Eastern medicine is completely different from Western when it comes to dietary. So the main thing the cancer patient can't have is dairy. And it's very mm-hmm. in-depth, and so I explain to them the dangers of once you're having cancer and what happens when you take dairy. And the results, we monitor the results and the blood work all through the course of the chemo. And they seem to do very well. So I work with the symptoms mm-hmm. and ensure that the cancer does not return.
That's amazing to know that, because there's so many people going through that now, and they have, and the chemotherapy has advanced too, but if you had something and did it along with your chemotherapy, you know, then that could relieve those horrible symptoms from the chemotherapy and everything they're going through. Now, one of the things that I've always wondered about is that, you know, you talked about the physical ailments. What about emotional and like mental ailments? Can acupuncture help with that?
Yes, I have a lot of patients. I actually work with some doctors where they send me their patients because they don't want to increase the dosage of the medication. So I work on them with anxiety, the insomnia, depending on how bad it is. And what I do is I relieve the stress through acupuncture, and I try to wean them off the medication to a lower dose if possible. And I do have great results with that as well. They seem to come in and get relaxed, and my goal is for them to have to come in at least amount of time as possible. So the first few visits, they may come and see me more in the first month, but in the second month it's less and less, and it carries on, which is amazing because I have one that was on very high doses of medication, and mm-hmm. after within 2 months she was down to 5 milligrams, which is huge because her anxiety was very, very bad, where she cannot leave the house. And
that is pretty incredible because there are so many side effects to those type of drugs too. What yes, about children, yes. like autistic children and stuff like that?
I do have a few. Actually, I have 2 13-year-olds at the time that I'm treating, and I'm getting really good results. I must admit, the first treatment, he came in, and they came back and said the next day they were getting Tourette's. So I told him that, you know what, acupuncture does work, but I think I did the wrong point. So I changed my treatment plan completely and went for mm-hmm. the scalp acupuncture. And they returned saying it was the best he's been since they've ever known him to be. So working very closely with them, and he's getting really good results. Because a lot of autistic kids, as they get older, they start to show signs of Tourette's, which is very disturbing for the parents and for the teachers. So you know, our goal is to keep them in a regular school so they won't have to have special needs. But I work with all
what
kinds.
What exactly is Tourette's? Is it like outbursts?
It is. And they'll usually have not so much anger. They'll just may twitch their head. Mm-hmm. My patient was twitching the head forward. Almost
Can
like
I
a
say
bout.
Something?
I suppose so.
Would that be all right? Actually,
you know what?
I have
to jump in, you guys.
I have Tourette's, and my son, I didn't know I had it until my son was actually diagnosed with it because it's hereditary. Right. I know what I went through when I was a kid, but they didn't know necessarily what it was. Parents didn't know enough to take me down there. But it's a series of tics sometimes, tics yes. and movements and jerks and things like that. And he ended up taking some medication for it because it just gets so bad. You know, the blinking of the eyes. My daughter has a little bit, expresses a little bit of it, but it's fluid. In other words, it'll last for a couple of months and then moves on and either stops altogether. And then after a time, they say that's kind of normal in some kids. But just a series of twitches. And it's also been connected with ADHD and also right. Compulsive disorder
obsessive
as well.
Compulsive.
Obsessive yeah. compulsive, yes, because exactly. you feel like when you're twitching and you're blinking your eyes or whatever particular tick that you happen to glean onto, you feel like you just have to continue to do that. You know what I mean? It's very obsessive
to soothe
in that way.
Yourself or something like that.
Soothe or it's just, you know, when you're worked up, if you get worked up, the time I noticed it most in my son was if you were playing games on the computer, you know, or video games, that type of thing. Yeah, his tics would act up and be a little bit worse. So anyway, just wanted to throw that in. That's kind of what Tourette's is.
Yes.
But it can be the outbursts as well, the vocal outbursts of things that you know you shouldn't say, but also you're trying so hard not to say it that it just comes out. That's part of the obsessiveness.
So there's an acupuncture point that could help this, or several of them, Martha?
But my patients are just starting the Tourette's, so they came at the right time. Had it been at a later stage, I don't know if I would get the same results, but the patients that I have are from stress. They seem to have the Tourette's issue more when they are under stress.
Interesting. Now, Maureen had a question, too. Go ahead, Maureen.
Well, yeah, well, it just brings up some... Hi, I'm Maureen.
Hi, Maureen.
At any rate, I have a nephew who has Tourette's, but and Bobby made some interesting points. I've noticed in the eye blinking and the blinking or the twitching and stuff like that. He's never been treated for anything, and he's a very creative 33-year-old man. But I do know that I was told that the father of my child, which has a lot of problems beside, but he had Tourette's, and I was, well, I'm just saying, but I was told Tourette's, I was very ignorant, but when I was looking it up, but they were always saying in his family, well, he has Tourette's more instead of psychopath, but he has Tourette's, that's why he's violent. Now, is that something that also can come out of Tourette's so you could help somebody if you get them early enough? Because there is, besides what Bobby said about the mouthy, I know there's some, they talk cussing, like my nephew in front of my mom, and they're out, and he's just really bad with the uncontrolled cussing, you know, if you get them earlier is what you're saying is, but is also, can it be violent sort of thing. Well, that could help too, I guess.
Right.
Anything.
What I would do is a different, I would do a sedating acupuncture. There's different types of acupuncture depending on the direction of the needle. And again, I would use scalp. It seems scalp seems to work better for those patients. And it was actually very relaxing for them. I have no problem. These are kids. You know, they're 13-year-olds, and I called them tickle sticks, but, I mean, they're no fools. They heard the word needle, but they were okay with it because they were getting the results, so they actually want to come in.
That's great. So you're getting them before they get – so they're never treated, and they get into the adults, and that's when the problems could – if they're not treated,
exactly.
I think – yeah. Thank you.
I think that makes a big difference. Yeah.
I think acupuncture would be the only way for them to go. I feel the way. That's just my view, just saying. Thank you, Brenda.
Yeah.
Thanks, Marie. And we talked a lot about the needles, but aren't there some other implements that are used in acupuncture as well as the needles? Can you tell us a little bit about that, Martha?
Oh, absolutely. There's different modalities that I would use. I'd use, moxibustion. Which is an herb, a mugwort, and mm-hmm. it's burned on the handle of the needle, or it could be used alone above the skin. And what that does, it warms acupuncture points. So people like with carpal tunnel or if they have cold arthritis, there's two different types of mm-hmm. arthritis, seems to warm with the body very well. I also do cupping, gua sha, which is a technique of scraping the skin. For people that come in like with whiplash or neck issues, it works mm-hmm. immediately. You get the results. Tuina massage, I use E-stem, and of course my favorite Chinese herbs, teas, and formulas.
Now, cupping is like it was really big in Hollywood like a few months back, and everybody was walking around with these cupping marks all over them. And now, tell us about those cups. What are they like? I've had it done, and they were when I had it done, they were these like glass globes, and then he placed them on my back, and then he heated them up. Is that how it works?
Yes, it stimulates the flow of blood within the superficial muscle layers and breaks up any obstructions that you have that's been created mm-hmm. so the toxins can be released. It's used for sore muscles, neck pain, tensions. I actually used it on my son once, and I realized he was very sick. It was about almost 12:30 at night, and I told him he needed to be seen with Western because of his asthma, and this was a few years ago. So I did the acupuncture, and I did the cupping. Well, he didn't go to the doctor's the next day, even though he worked with the doctor's office, he didn't tell them that he was sick because he was feeling better. So when he came back Sunday, it came back 4 days later. I gave him cupping again, and I told him he must mm-hmm. be seen, which he did. And it turned out he had pleurisy. They never saw anything like that before because the pathogen was on the outside of the lungs. So they gave him the antibiotics, and they said it's going to get worse before it's going to get better because it's going to go back into the lungs and then come back out. Well, I told him, no, it's not, because what happened was I sucked it out from the cupping. So I said, I'll give you another cupping treatment, and that will suck out the rest that's stuck right there in the middle. You take the antibiotics, and it'll be gone. And that's exactly what happened. But it's
so that's a good example of modern medicine plus acupuncture working together.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, Stephen, one of our other co-hosts, he had a question. I think it's pretty interesting. He wanted to know if it could be used to stimulate the pineal gland, which is for the psychic ability.
He wants to be more serious psychic.
About this? Do you want to like be a huge egghead out there, like a brain?
Again, there's things that are released. The neurotransmitter theory, it says it affects the higher brain areas. It stimulates the secretion of beta endorphins in the brain and the spinal cord. So depending on where the needles are put, different hormones are released. And the autonomic nervous system is affected. The gait control theory, blood chemistry is affected. I would try it. We'll see.
Is that something that's permanent, though? Like you do that and then it lasts?
Do you think you'd like to have that done?
Everybody's different. It would have to be seen. Like I said, everybody's different. I've never been asked that one or tried it before, but, you know, come on in. We'll see how it goes.
Did that answer your question, Steve?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I'm just fascinated.
I think we should all try it.
Absolutely. But I'm in Tennessee, so you'd have to have a big needle.
Well, I'm
very long needle.
Count me in. I'm up for it.
Now, Maureen wanted to ask about... what is it? Wax conning?
Yeah. Yes, I did, because I did go to the Pacific College of Oriental in San Diego, because I'm down here. My sister had been attending there at the time. I got a really good deal because I was her sister. I was very fortunate to be able to get some treatments. But they were doing some, like this was in the early 90s. Coney, I don't remember, but it was with wax. Do you follow me? It was with wax.
You mean
ear coning?
What? Ear coning. I guess it was ear coning.
Yeah, they stopped it for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay.
It's pretty effective. But yes, it's that is good. It's like a lost art.
Yeah, they were doing – well, I'm going to get into it later when we talk later. But yeah, it was something else. It was really cool. And they stopped that. Wow. That's too bad, I guess, for me.
You see all over China. I went to school in China as well.
So what was it called? What was it called? Coning? It was called coning.
Ear coning.
It?
It's called ear coning.
Ear coning. Yes. Correct. Okay. Yes.
Is it hoppy ear candling?
Ear candle. Oh, that's it. Ear candling.
Hoppy ear candling.
Mm-hmm. Well, so they stopped it. Okay. Well, thank you. Well, now I'm a little bit up to speed on the new 2000s.
It still works. It doesn't mean it doesn't work. It does. I think it's too bad that it was not taught at the schools.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder why. Well, I could research. I love research. I'll find out. Maybe you'd know, but that's too bad. Help me.
I've had it. I've had that ear coning thing. I think they stopped it because some people weren't doing it right, and it was actually giving people ear infections.
Infections, well, like anything else.
Yeah. Well, you know, it became a fad, and you had a lot of hacks out there thinking they could do it. You know what I mean? So.
Right. Thank you.
Now, Martha, what about acupuncture on animals? I mean, I have gotten acupuncture. This is going to sound crazy, but I have gotten acupuncture from my horses before.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, the horses would be one of the easier animals to do. It works the same way. So I would treat the highest point of the animal. That would be like the head, because not all times is the head the highest point. If the horse always has his head down, the middle of the back could be considered the highest point. But it's very, very effective. I do have some friends that just strictly do animals, and they absolutely love their job.
Cats, dogs. Cats must not like it. I'm sure cats, like, don't like it.
No, they wouldn't be so easy. But you know what? When they're sick... And they don't, usually when cats get sick, they tend to go hibernate under a bed or off in the corner somewhere. And that would be a good time to treat a cat, because they're more sedative as it is. They don't have the energy, and they will notice that the acupuncture works. And once the animal knows that you're there to help them, they're usually more subjected to it.
They are. Now, could you tell us a little bit about the herbs that are used in acupuncture?
Yes, the herbs that we use, most acupuncturists use, are Chinese herbs. There's different kinds of herbs. There's American herbs, which I get asked a lot about, but acupuncturists normally just use Chinese herbs. They come from different areas in China, as it varies depending on the climate. The herbs are indigenous to the areas, so depending on where the herb grows best, that is where they are cultivated. We use raw herbs. We also have granules, which is like powdery substance, and granules can also be put into capsules. Usually they're put in, the raw herbs are shipped directly from China, or if they're granules or capsules, the company that I use sends them to a factory in Taiwan, and then they're sent here to the United States.
I in the past, you know, over the years when I've gone to acupuncturists, they will have like a bunch of bins of raw herbs, and they would just like throw handfuls of it and put it in like a paper bag, and then you go home and you make something called a soup.
Yes, I absolutely love raw herbs. Unfortunately, my patients aren't huge fans of it. They tend to go more for the capsules. I do
the
have
taste
some raw herbs.
Is really, really disgusting.
It is, but it works.
I think it's a better way. More. Don't you agree? It's a more effective way to get into the body.
Absolutely, it gets in immediately, and the results. I cannot tell you how great it is. And the pills the capsules that you would have to take to compare in the raw forms, it's a lot. You have to take sometimes like six herbs, three or four times a day, capsule forms, as opposed to drinking a tea.
And there's a lot of loss with the capsules too. They don't. Some of it probably passes through the body, right?
Yeah, I try to. The stuff that I use is always the highest quality. I never go cheap whatsoever. I always use the highest quality of needles. They're usually four times more expensive than the regular needles, but I don't care. And same thing with the herbs. I never would consider going cheap. I always get the highest quality of herbs possible.
But, okay, we're going to pause for just 1 minute here and take like a little short commercial, okay? We'll be right back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Let's welcome back Martha Hall, our awesome acupuncturist that we're talking with. This is just fascinating stuff. I believe it's totally fascinating. I mean, and this rich of a history behind acupuncture. I mean, is it about truly 5,000 years old? I thought it was even older than that, like up to 8,000.
There's controversy on that. The first textbook, they still have controversy as far as where it goes. But I have been to the museums in China where they were the needles were thousands of years old. It was fascinating.
Really? And then were they metal needles or were they made of something else?
They were stone needles.
Stone?
Yeah. It was. Some were big, some were small.
Now that's got to hurt. A stone needle?
Yeah, that would hurt. Absolutely. That would definitely
I wonder
hurt.
How they discovered the areas to put the acupuncture points.
I was taught in school, but this is all, fable, you don't know, that during war, they would use the dead body. So I imagine that they would use the enemy's dead body, and they would do points and maybe stimulate, say in the back, I would hate to say it, but I would just think if the body would respond kind of like automatically. So say in the back of the neck and your C6, that's your thumb. That's the referral pain for your thumb. It's exactly the same as Western, and Western thinks that we're very techno-savvy as far as getting the body exactly with the C6 all the way down to the lumbar area and where the dermal tones are for that. But the Chinese figured this out thousands of years ago.
Now, is it nerves that they trace, and where do these needles go in? Do they go into nerve areas, or
no? We stay away from. We're completely opposite of Western. We don't go where there's any veins, capillaries, nerves. The only time that we ever want to hit the nerve is when it's sciatic, and it doesn't hurt. All we're looking is for that response. It's almost like hitting the funny bone. Once you hit that, then the sciatic nerve is released, and the pain is usually immediately gone. But other than that, we stay away from all that. But I'm just thinking that it's been said that that's where the Chinese figured out the acupuncture points.
Well, it stands to reason because, the ancient Egyptians, because they did mummification, they had to study the bodies. And it makes a lot of sense. So getting back to the herbs now I remember, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I remember back then they used to have what they called animal herbs, which were not only herbs, but also things, other types of organic matters, so to speak. Do they still use that in Chinese medicine?
So much here in the States, depending on, it's usually plants, minerals, that's used. And there are some sorts like insects, and, they're trying to get away from the animals, because of the animal rights activists.
Right. In the endangered species, like the rhinoceros horn, wasn't it used a lot at some point?
Yes. And Lurong is a very one for cancer patients. It's excellent. It's the deer horns.
Right.
The part of the deer horns. And it's very expensive, but you can't get it because of the fact that it's just too hard to do and too much controversy on it.
Right, right. Now, it's the green part of the horn, right, as I remember, or something
it's
like
the
that.
Velvet part. And you usually want it on the young deer, the doe. And they usually come out during mating season, which is not a time that you're allowed to go hunting. So it's very, very hard to find that herd. And even if you can find it, it's hard to get, like I said, because it's during mating season when it's shedded, and you're not allowed to hunt during mating season.
And those are reindeer, aren't they? Kind of like a reindeer?
Yes, yes, but it's the baby ones, which is the sad part. Those are the
oh no. Well, I'm glad they're not doing it anymore.
Yeah, well, like Iowa has an overpopulation of deer, and so they actually will extend the hunting season because there's so much deer that's ruining a lot of the crops, and it's just going to overpopulate it. So they allow it there, but I was not into Chinese herbs. And again, you cannot hunt during mating season.
But. Well, so you have the herbs, and you have the needles and the cupping and all this type. Now, what type of diet is recommended? Now, I was never, when I received acupuncture treatment, they never told me to change my diet. The traditional Chinese people that I went to, do you recommend changing diet? Do you think it helps?
Oh, my God, yes.
Along with everything?
I'm huge on it. Eastern nutrition and Western nutrition are completely different. My first day of Western nutrition, the doctor says, make sure all your patients are eating salad, and they explain all the reasons why, as we all Americans know. And then they said, and then my Eastern nutrition class, the doctor went off and said, make sure all your patients are not eating salads. It's very cold on the stomach. The stomach is 98.6 degrees in temperature, and every day having salads is too hard and too cold on the stomach. Americans love to eat ice. You got to stop for the same reasons. It's too cold for the body. It was completely right. Shocking, but it made sense. So I would look at the tongue and pulse of the patient, and then from there I would decipher if the patient has too much hot or too much cold going on inside. And depending on that, I would refer to what diet they should be on. But one thing that Chinese medicine is not big on or believe in doing is dairy products, anything that comes from a cow. Is considered a no-no because it creates mucus.
And that's bad stuff.
Absolutely. We look at cancer as a mucus. So to get rid of the cancer, we get rid of the mucus. And what is the number one producing mucus is dairy products.
Oh, it's the dairy. And then I watch my husband drink a glass of milk. It's like, oh, God, don't do it in front of me. Don't do it in front of me. I guess it's okay for kids, right? They need it, but...
I would beg to differ, but that's another story. Yeah, they can use almond milk. Mother's milk is best, of course. And then after that, I would not want my grandchildren doing milk.
But cheese tastes so good. I mean, especially if you're Italian.
I agree. It took about 3
don't
years
to get
out of
my diet. Bobby? I don't know if he's on mute or not.
I'm here. And
he's thinking
cheese.
About cheese. And
yeah, never too much cheese. That's how
so
we live. That's how we
live. Not a good thing. A double cheese pizza is not with pepperoni isn't good, huh?
No. They don't like me a lot after I tell them about the diet because that's part of Chinese medicine. We look at food as medicine. So if they're serious about it, they need to take control of their lifestyle because that's going to depend on how they're going to live their later years. But diet is a huge part of my practice and with my patients. And each one is different, so I would refer to what type of diet, what type of foods each patient would need.
Now, do they have in Chinese medicine, do they have specific body types as well?
Yes,
because
yes.
You know,
we look at the body. Everybody's different. We look at it, first of all, is it a yin or yang type body? Is it very robust, meek? We look at facial lines, the skin, the smell of the body. Every detail matters. If they're a pear shape, or if they're really skinny, if they're really heavy, every detail matters to the patient because it really becomes who you are. And we were
now,
literally to read facial lines on patients' faces.
Interesting. I went down to Chinatown one time and I got a reading by this Chinese guy, and he read the bumps on my head.
Yeah.
Seriously, he did. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's how he did his reading. I thought, man, I have a really, like, you wouldn't want to see me bald, in other words. But I know it would not be a pretty sight. So what is, explain the yin and the yang, or is it yang? How do you pronounce it?
Yang. Yang is okay. For Americans, but it's yin and yang. A yang person would be that somebody that's very robust, 5'11", strong in nature, walks upright, not meek, where a yin in nature would be somebody that's more mild, more introverted,
mm-hmm.
not so much outgoing. And then that's like the first start of it. Then I would start going in to see if their personalities match. Do they come on strong when they walk down the hallway, or do they just wait until someone comes out to get them? Every little detail matters. And I'll
that
just make a note of it.
That is fascinating. Wow. So you study the patient from the moment you see them, you know, just
Absolutely.
Every mannerism and everything.
Yes, the way they carry their purses, because they're coming in for back pain, and if they've got this huge old heavy purse and a backpack on top of that, which I do see, I said, honey, that's all you need to do is change your purse. It's too heavy. Every little detail in the way they walk, the gait of the walk of the patient, it all matters. Because if it's if they have a certain gait, which is a certain walk, and they're lipping on one side or favoring a side, and that took, you know, usually months to do or even years. So now I have to straighten in that side. They're coming in for one side that it's hurting, but they have to be treated on the other side as well, because they had to make up for that side that's been hurting by compensating on one side. So I treat the whole body when somebody comes in.
And that happens so often. It really does.
They'll come in for the left side, and I'll also put needles on the right side. And they say, but that side doesn't hurt. I said, I know, but I'm treating the whole body.
It has to be balanced too.
Exactly. Right.
And you know,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I said, if people have migraines, I'll put needles on the foot. The whole body's connected. It's not just in the head. I want to draw that energy down. So one strong point is on the foot. And so I usually have to explain to the patients, the whole body's connected. It's not separate at all. So the treatment is needles throughout the body. That makes up a point prescription. And if they don't hurt, you know, usually they don't know that they're in. Well, no, but it's very relaxing.
What do you know about acupuncture being used in, like, spiritual practices? Like, I've read some books on, like, Chinese exorcisms and stuff in which they use needles to actually drive negative spirits out of people. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I studied that as well. Those are called ghost points that we use. There's different types of points. It was used very much in more in the olden times, not so much you hear about it anymore.
Now, where are those points? Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, they're not so much used. Some are even on the neck area mm-hmm. and around the head. And the
like
neck
where a
area.
Vampire would bite you or something?
I never thought of it. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, but you don't hear about it. I mean, I read about it, studied it, but you never use those points. I've never used them.
Thank God. That's fascinating. Now, different, even within acupuncture, aren't there different, like, traditions, like Chinese and Japanese and Korean?
Yes.
And I've heard of that some use a lot of needles and some just use a very few. Is that true?
Yes. I was always taught less is more. You really don't need a lot of needles. But the Chinese, they can be brutal. A lot of times when people are really scared and they say they've had acupuncture before, I always ask, well, have you had acupuncture before from a Chinese doctor? And they always say yes. I said, okay, it's completely different. I'm not that evasive. I usually go with the patient. A lot of times, sometimes the needle doesn't want to go in. And I barely pass the skin and it still want to go in. So I respect the body. I'll find another point. Or I'll come back to it and see if it'll accept it later, which it usually does. The Chinese don't care. They will force it. I did my externship in the Chinese hospital in Chengdu University, and they force it there. It doesn't matter if the patient feels it or not, but the patients are so tolerable to it that they were raised that way. So they just force it where I don't do it that way. My style is completely different. I am more gentle.
Sensitive, yeah. I think that makes a difference because the body, I think if we listen to our bodies, don't they tell us what we need?
Yes, absolutely. and the Japanese barely penetrate past his skin. If you put a needle in the arm and you shake the arm, it'll fall off. It is that superficial.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. I've never had Japanese. I've had Korean, and they put like a bazillion needles from head to toe.
Yeah, they use the hand a lot. And the Japanese never go above the knees or above the elbows. They respect it, but they for immodesty. But that's kind of sad because if somebody comes in with sciatica, you really need to get in there and get that point.
Oh, yeah, and I can attest to that because you fixed me one time. I could barely sit, and that point was actually throbbing, and within 15 minutes it was gone, and I had suffered for weeks.
Yeah,
seriously.
If you hit that point, once you hit that point, it's usually gone. But it's one tiny point, and it's not always easy to find.
Okay, now we have a question from our other co-host, Maureen. She wanted to know about the heart issues and heart points.
Well, actually, I was misunderstood myself. I had some work done at the Pacific. I think this, you know, the school wisest talk you were speaking of that you had also been there, and they were working on some emotional trauma that I experienced through someone hurting me domestically, and so they were working on the shin.
Yes, it's the number one point for any heart disorders. It's one point in the ear, and there's one point on the wrist, on the ulnar side, which is like the little pinky side.
I always try to remember what it was called. I don't remember. It's the sheen. Is that a name?
Yes. Shenmen. S-H-E-N-M-E-N.
Great. Thank you. That's what I wanted to know. Okay. That's all. Cause I remember he was explaining it to me, and that's what was going on. And I was trying to remember how to say it or spell it, but I got it. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
That's perfect.
Well, we're just about to wrap up your interview, and boy, it's just been so interesting, Martha, I have to tell you. And I'm a big fan of acupuncture. I really am. You know, what would be something that you, if somebody was considering acupuncture and they were kind of like scared or they were kind of on the fence or doubting it, what would you say to them?
There's no need to get technical. Just keep it simple. You know, just speak from your heart and realize that your friend or whoever you're trying to convince has not tried everything without trying acupuncture. So tell your friend how your health used to be before you had acupuncture. So you said you had the pain, the sciatic pain. Tell them about that. And tell them what your acupuncture has done for you. And just tell them the results that you've had and that it was, you know, non-invasive. It didn't hurt. And there's really no side effects except that you feel better.
And you do. You do.
Yeah.
And
I get free consultations. And if they're ever scared, I don't mind usually putting a few needles in while I do the consultations. And usually they don't know it. I just say, just turn your head to the side and you won't know. And with kids, I have children that are as young as 7 years old that come in and we play a game. I said, you let me know if you think the needles are in. Close your eyes and I'll do the whole body from head to toe. Not that many needles, but they won't know that the needle is in there. And it's a game that we play and they actually really enjoy it.
That's great. Well, Martha, it was really a pleasure speaking with you tonight. And we appreciate you stopping by on this show. And
well,
thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us tonight, honey.
Absolutely my pleasure. And thank you for spreading the word about acupuncture.
You're welcome. Okay. To contact Martha Hall, you can visit her website at www.acupuncturehalls.com. You can also find her information and her contact information on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. I want to take a moment to make a few announcements and just a little brief. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our last week's show on out-of-body exploring with Preston Denton, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all our previous shows. And boy, they were awesome too. On psychicaccesstalkradio.com. And it's under the archives tab. And you can access these archives, you know, all day long, as much as you want to. And we encourage you, because we talk about all kinds of, you know, interesting subjects. You know, spread the word to your family and friends. And it's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible. So please share this link with others. Also, be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal, reincarnation, and just the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading for some of the best professional psychics on the net, and I personally recommend them, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified, accuracy-tested psychics. Each one of them has their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. And I'm really big on that because there's a lot of people out there doing psychic readings that maybe shouldn't be. You know, they haven't done it as long, they don't have the experience. So it's very important that you know that they are tested and they are verified, because we have to prove ourselves. All of the co-hosts here on psychicaccess.com and Psychic Access Talk Radio, we all work here at Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at www.psychicaccess.com, and we would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit www.psychicaccess.com. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join in at the chat room and listen to the psychic viewpoint. There is something for everybody. So please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. The call-in number for readings, and not right now, but later, and it's at the end of the show, is 724-444-4851. So now we're going to go to kind of an interesting part of the show. This is what I, you know, refer to as our kibitzing session, and we kind of talk amongst ourselves. So I want to ask Steve first, what are your experiences with energy work and chi?
Well, I've had acupuncture and had very good results. I've also had a lot of reflexology and massage, and reflexology particularly I find extremely effective. Mm-hmm. It really calms me down, and I find the connection between the different reflexes fascinating, and the fact that a reflexologist, for example, can work on a particular point on your foot, and it's connected to a part of your body where you do have an issue, and it hurts on your foot as well. And I find that absolutely fascinating. But really, if you think of the work we do and what we teach as mm-hmm. psychics, we say, don't we, that everything is interconnected, and that's how we're able to read a person. So it makes sense that there are meridians that run through the body, energy lines that connect different parts of the body, just as it makes sense that there are ley lines reflecting the lines of energy on our planet.
Well, if you think of it in the holistic way, is you know, spirit, body, emotional, you know, it's just layers, and all those layers are interconnected, and wouldn't you agree that the acupressure it's pretty similar to acupuncture, it's just without the needles, they mostly just like work those points, you know?
That's my understanding. That's absolutely my understanding. And I have treatments regularly to prevent illness or issues. You know, so often we go looking for a solution when we have a problem, and we forget to actually avoid the problem.
Right.
And I found your guest's point about food to be really poignant, because we fill ourselves with toxins and rubbish, and we really should be nurturing ourselves with healthy foods. I read an article earlier this week about the shapes of foods.
Oh, I've read that one. That's interesting. Tell us about it.
Well, I don't know. I'm no expert, but it was saying, for example, when you slice a carrot and you look at a slice of carrot, if you've sliced it across, it looks like an eye, and it's
good for the eyes.
Nature showing us that that's good for the eyes. And walnuts, the shape of the walnut is like, looks like a brain. So I just found it fascinating. I do know that in readings, often my guides will refer to a certain food type for a client. And I always say, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not telling you to use this, but I am encouraging you to ask your doctor or your nutritionist what this food can actually do for you. Because so often spirit will show me an avocado or something that they feel that client needs. It's very interesting.
And has it worked for them?
Yes, and I've had a lot of clients that have come back and said, you know, I actually asked my doctor about that and discovered that I did have a health problem I wasn't aware of.
See, that's completely connecting psychically with what their body needs. And that happens. And that's happened to me before too. Not probably not as often as you, but I've seen certain foods around people before. But never cheese.
Never cheese. Never dairy.
Never cheese.
I have to say I like dairy actually, but I don't have it. Because I live in Tennessee, and in Knoxville we have a lot of issues with allergies, and I avoid dairy partly because of my allergies and partly because I know it's not good for me. But when I have had milk, you know, my allergies are a lot worse.
Well, thank you. That's very informative, especially about the shapes of vegetables. That is interesting. The thing about the brain, when I was a kid, I used to think that the walnut looked like the brain all the time. So, well, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Now, Maureen.
Yeah.
Do you think that acupuncture is beneficial to treat depression, you know, unlike other mental emotional issues? Are we getting too personal here?
No, well, absolutely. You know, I'm always putting myself out there for everybody. I have nothing to hide. And that's why I do the work I do, is because of my own, like I said earlier, because of what we all go through. But the thing is, with me, I did go to the Pacific College of Oriental Medicine in San Diego, California. My daughter was a year and a half old, and unfortunately had somebody by no choice of mine hurt me. And so I was going through a lot, besides having a broken collarbone, but it was overwhelming, the whole dynamics of, if you know what I mean, of what happened and I was involved in. And anybody out there is involved in anything like that, run. Anyway, so I wanted to say that when I went to the school, my sister was in school there. So it was wonderful because mm-hmm. I got a really great deal. So I go, yeah, I'm up for it. It was the first time. And what happened was, it was the most incredible experience because of what was going on with me, with the dynamics of how I was involved with something that was way over my head. I didn't realize, but they worked. That's why I was asking her about the heart
center. Yeah,
exactly. Well, it wasn't because I had the heart problem, but my heart, the pain in my heart, heavy heart. And also that they decided, and that's when I had the ear, the waxing in the ear, they worked mm-hmm. with me, and it was incredible because they said my sheen was completely, wherever my heart was, completely was all messed up. So they focused on that. And, you know, it really did help me. And I was already in pain from a broken collarbone. That wasn't just the reason why.
Now, that's no fun. I've had one of those.
Yeah, and by somebody that you don't, you know what I mean. But because of it, the dynamics of how it came about, it wasn't so much they decided to work with me with that pain of the collarbone. It was about my emotional state at the time, which was really overwhelming because there was so much other things involved about, you know, stuff. So they worked with me on that, this guy, wonderful guy, and worked with me for a long time. I went a couple times, and it really helped me quite a bit get my head on straight.
Wow. That, you know, that this just it's more proof. You know, I love to hear these types of things because,
yeah, and,
you know.
Exactly. And it wasn't about medication. Like she was talking about, can use it wasn't a medicational thing. It was definitely, he connected with me. If you get a good, if you go to someone well, just a good person who's very well in tune with what everything is, you know, he didn't know exactly how I got the broken collarbone. He didn't know all that. Then he asked me a question about something, and he was right on. He was picking up, I was completely out of whack within myself of what had happened. It was such a, I mean, it was a awful experience, like I said, but so he just worked on it, trying to help me inside myself be okay to be able to, you know, thrive on what I needed to do after
and
that.
Get past it, huh? Get past
And I did. Yeah, exactly. And it was the best thing ever. No counseling could have helped that. None.
Wow. That's, so, yeah. You know, and, you know, I've heard of people that, you know, especially with depression, can't even get out of their beds, and they've had acupuncture, and then they, you know, it starts to bring them out of it. So
yeah,
it probably, you know, it releases chemicals in the bodies. Well, thank you, Maureen.
You're welcome.
Bobby.
Yes, love.
I know we're kind of going to wing it here, honey, but what do you think? Do you think that the acupuncture could help you with your spiritual advancement? What do you think?
I mean, it's possible. There's so many different things. You know, we've talked about this before, haven't we? Like, especially with the astrology or things like that that could help me do what I do. And I'm really just right now I don't know how else to say it, but not interested in other things that help me with that. In other words, I think the path to self-discovery and self-exploration is all that we need, basically. So many other things that can help stimulate and support. I totally agree with that. But for whatever reason, it seems like I've chosen to kind of take the harder path, which is just, again, self-exploration and just, you know, trying to get into that. It's more Zen-like, isn't it, Buddha, and that space of emptiness where all of this really comes from. So I know you disagree.
Well, no, not even if you had a needle in your pineal point.
Well, I would have to stick that thing in there, you know, stick it in there every time I'm doing a reading. And no, I don't. I'm sure all of that. I would love to really experience that.
There are many paths. You know, don't be afraid.
I'm not afraid. Stick with the one, you know, I just stick with the one that I know. And I think it would be interesting. I think part of it is I know that I can have a very addictive personality. And I think I'm so afraid that if I do something like that, I will really, really like it and then come to rely on that. And then I know that I would start to doubt myself.
No.
You know what I mean? No, I'm serious. Yeah, no, it's like the
serious
cards, remember?
Are you serious?
Yeah. Like when I picked up, remember I told you when I picked up the tarot cards? And
it threw you off?
And it didn't throw me off. It helped open you up, but I was afraid that, so what if I don't have my cards with me? I'd be like, oh, I can't do this without the cards, or, you know, just so many different things. I'm afraid that.
You just need to get to that point where you know that it's all complementary.
That's the thing, that it all just complements. And there are things that, yeah, I mean, I'm sure I could do that. So I don't know. I've just kind of chosen the raw path, I think. But I totally believe in the whole everything she was talking about in acupuncture. I know and believe that it can definitely help stimulate psychic abilities and all of that. I have no doubt that it can do all of that. So
do you think you'd use it for your kids' Tourette's?
It's something I would suggest to my son's mom. Yeah, he's the one that's been diagnosed with it. And definitely if he was interested in that, you just throw it as another option to help support that. You know, he's off his medication now, so he's done really well. I think it is something that he can outgrow. You know, and so I would definitely recommend it, that if it ever got to be bad again, I would recommend acupuncture and such. Absolutely.
Okay. All righty.
Don't okay me, young lady.
Well, I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Okay. Well, let's hear from Steve again. So, Steve, how can we best manage our life force, in your opinion?
By loving ourselves.
Really?
By loving ourselves.
Explain.
as much as we love the people that we love most, you know, mm-hmm. as a psychic or as a medium, you speak to so many people who are having issues with a relationship or who are in love with somebody who's not reciprocating their love, or they're in love and the circumstances are not right. And it comes across so clearly that so many people fail to love themselves as intensely as they love another. And it's a mistake. And there are many ways that we should love ourselves. One is to do the things that we enjoy. Another is to take care of this physical body that we were gifted when we chose to came into this physical world, into this experience. And so loving ourselves includes not abusing the physical body. It includes exercising, eating, uplifting, mm-hmm. nourishing, live, energetic foods. You know, if we eat dead food, we're killing ourselves. If we eat high energy, high vibration, then we're uplifting ourselves. I feel as well that life force is also about really being clear about why we're here, being clear what our greatest talents are, being clear what our role is in the world. Because, again, so many people that get ill or who are dissatisfied with their lives are not on the right path. They're not mm-hmm. fulfilled. They're not playing to their strengths, their passions. They get frustrated. They get down. And so that's really important as well. I also feel that for life force to really flow, we have to work on ourselves. We have to understand our issues, our complexities. I mean, if you go out into the street and you ask people if they even know or understand their personality type, 99 of 100 people will say no. And it's...
They're not in touch with that. That's completely foreign to them.
Yeah, they haven't even stopped to identify their personality type. I mean, they're living unconsciously. They're asleep. And it's not a criticism. It's just an observation that so many people are half asleep. They're not conscious of who they are. Never mind taking care of themselves or loving themselves. We are here by the grace of God, and we should honor that opportunity, and we should allow life force to flow. And that means respecting and loving ourselves to the max.
That is so true. True words were never spoken, because the body is the temple, and so many ancient cultures that had the priesthoods and stuff, they considered that if the body wasn't physically fit, you had to be physically fit to be spiritually fit, if that makes sense. See what I mean?
Yes, and it's all interconnected.
Because it's all interconnected.
The other thing, you know, Brenda, is that we have to allow ourselves to be in a state of joy. That's when life force flows as well. You know, when you see a child that's playing and laughing and or dancing or doing what they love, and you see the smile on their face, that's life force. That's joy. And so many of us fail to have enough joy in our lives or to prioritize joy. And it's critical. I remember giving a talk a while ago about the concept of time, and you know,
that goes along with living in the moment, right there.
Living in the moment, exactly, because so many of us are either stuck in the past, and I do it as well. I was meditating this afternoon and today.
No,
I do, Bobby. It's true.
No,
oh. So you have to understand our astrological sign. We like to live in the past. We have to force ourselves to live now.
Well, you see, we're so emotionally tied to the past and still trying to resolve what happened in the past. And then when we're not doing that, we're so often in anticipation of the future. So when we're not focusing upon baggage from the past or why this happened, why that happened, why this person didn't want me, etc., then we're focusing on what we're trying to create in the future, and we forget to experience now. And when we're not experiencing now, we're failing, because it's now that we experience it. And you see, I remember speaking to a client the other day and really shocking him, because he was attached to all these issues in the past that we were trying to resolve, and then on the other hand, he was completely attached to what he was creating in the future. Has no spiritual beliefs, doesn't believe in the continued existence of the soul. And I looked him in the eye and said, so you're really stuck in the past, and when you're not doing that, you're obsessed with creating a future. You don't really ever enjoy the now, and you don't have any beliefs in the afterlife. So basically, you're just waiting to be dead.
Well, that's putting it directly.
It is, but sometimes you have to shock. The penny dropped, and he said, it's true. I am. I'm not living life. And if there is just a death and not a transition, then it's true. I'm just pedaling away waiting for death. So it's dramatic, but to make a point.
Well, that's a very valid point. Living in the now is all part of our joy and our happiness, because if you stop and you're not always worried about, because I'm guilty of I'm a workaholic, but I've made a new resolve that I've got to stop and just look around me, you know? There's just so many gifts everywhere, you know?
You should be the observer of your life and the now, that I feel is a good way to look at it.
That sounds really great. Can you say that again? The observer of your own life?
Yes, and at the time in the now, be the observer.
Wow.
And Maureen's point's wonderful, because most of what we've talked about, a lot of what we've talked about, is just that. It's stepping back and saying, well, who am I? It's actually looking at yourself through the eyes of God. Mm. And stepping out as though you are a third party and observing yourself. How did I manage that situation? It's so true.
Or what was I thinking when I did that? Well, some people need to look at that seriously, you know? Sometimes we act without thinking about it.
We do. We all do it. I make lots of mistakes. But at least when we're aware of them, we can start to work on avoiding it.
Well, Maureen.
Yes, that's me.
That's your name. Have you ever been referred to an acupuncturist?
Yes, I have. And your guest spoke about this, and which was really interesting. My insurance, I had to ask for it, but I had to ask, my insurance covered it. And I went to it because I have some nerve damage from it. Again, somebody that I didn't want doing it came from nerve damage in my hand. And from a broken wrist, I had bad surgery, bad guy that did it, and I was left with inguinal nerve palsy because I had another. Anyway, this whole scenario, it wasn't getting anything done with all the physical therapy and the second operation, and it's sad because, you know, my hands. So I asked my primary doctor, and because I looked up and said, yes, I was entitled to receive acupuncture. So I did ask, I was referred to someone, and after I heard your guest talk, the acupuncturist was it the Japanese that don't stick them in all the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that
right?
So that's exactly the type of that's how it was. So it must have been the Japanese way. So because I remember that when she brought that, it came to my mind. Oh, that's interesting. And I went for about a half a year, and it did do a lot of help. And now I should go back because I have now some other. This is 10 years later. Some nerve damage going on, so I'm thinking about getting back. Definitely.
Well, so you can always go back. I mean, it's like sometimes I forget about it and how much it's, it, you know, I've had treatments that literally saved my life one time. I mean, acupuncture has just been just fabulous for
it
me
is.
In the past. But you forget about that, oh my gosh, it really, really works. I might as well just go get it, you know?
Exactly. And that's true because that's very true. Because, well, you know, now because our insurance, we have to go through this or that. But yes, I absolutely am going to go because I was really. I'm all for acupuncture because of my experience with it. In the other way I talked about, and now in the physical, for my physical. So I was very pleased.
Well, I think that Bobby needs some acupuncture just so he knows what it's all about. What do you think?
I didn't say I wouldn't. You asked me about
the message.
You know, you're going to think every time we talk a subject on the show, you're like, oh, Bobby hates it or Bobby doesn't get it.
Oh, we don't think that at all.
I love acupuncture. I think acupuncture is awesome. One of the first times I had seen it done, I have a black belt in Aikido, and our sensei was doing acupuncture. He was leading a meditational class, and he had acupuncture. And somebody had asked, I don't know if it was you, Maureen, or Brenda, that, you know, they had the little cubes at the end of the stick, and they were like little incense or whatever.
Yeah.
And he had those, and it was an amazing sight because there's this pillar, this statuesque man sitting there, and you know, smoke was kind of around him, and I should have been paying more attention to meditation, but I was so fascinated. I was getting my meditation by watching him in his, and it was just so amazing. So that's the first that I had been, introduced to it. And I've always believed in acupressure is where I kind of started. I learned a little bit of that when I was in class, but the acupuncture, I mean, I'm a huge believer in all of that. It's great.
Okay.
But I would love to, I would like to have a needle stuck in me at one point to find out, other than a flu shot, to figure out.
Oh, okay.
The benefits.
We'll have to arrange for that somehow.
We can stick it to you, Bobby.
We're going to stick it to you.
Yeah, I believe it. Oh, my God. Chasing around with a needle.
Okay, we've come to the part of the show where we'll be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851.
And that again, was wait time. We're actually not prejudiced here. We don't have a wait time. There was wait time.
It's wait,
I just
sorry.
Want to clarify. Okay.
Well, thank you, Bobby.
Sure,
you got
sure.
my back on that one. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will be automatically placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Please relax and listen to the show while you wait. Please be very clear and direct with your questions. We can take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all the calls waiting for the readings. And so this brings us to the end of another wonderful show. I want to thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes, you know, making this all possible for us. Keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-hosts for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be anchored by Steve. Steve, what do you have planned for next week?
Well, next week we have Heidi Goodrich. She's an incredible lady, and she's going to be talking to us about psychic clearing and really getting clarity on our issues and overcoming them. And she's also got great advice about finding the right partner, compatibility, dating. But I know that we're going to be giving our readings first.
Mm-hmm.
But it will be a great show next week as well.
Okay, we're getting ready to do our readings.
Yeah, I think we've got a first caller from South Dakota, actually.
It's for, yes, and I believe it's for you. And again, the number is 724-444-4851.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brenda. Who's calling from South Dakota?
Hello.
Hello, South Dakota. How are you?
Hello. I am stressed. I have a grandson who had 3 DUIs, and he's facing felony charges. He's under 20 years old, and he's going to be meeting with a judge tomorrow, and I just have this strong feeling that I need to be there. And so I don't know whether it's just my anxiety or whether my going would actually help him. Can you tell me that?
Absolutely. What is your name? Sorry.
name is made of.
Sorry, your name is?
Excuse me, I can hardly hear you.
I'm sorry, I was asking your name.
What?
I'm just asking what your name is. Your name.
Ada.
Ada, okay, Ada. Well, Ada, I feel absolutely you need to be there. I feel that he really needs your strength. He's feeling weak right now. I don't feel that he's anywhere near as mature as he likes to think he is. And, you know, he tries to be independent and to fend for himself. But he really needs his mom. And my guides say, if you can be there, then be there, because it will be extremely positive for him, and it'll also be very, very constructive for your relationship. I feel as though it really helps to bring you closer together, or even closer together. So, absolutely, he needs you there.
Okay, but would I be able to help in the legal process or anything like that? See, he has a court-appointed lawyer, and the last time she didn't even show up. And so I guess I'm not just worrying about his emotional problems right now. I'm looking at the legal aspect, maybe even in the spiritual sense, the universal sense about what's going on here and so forth. I know that sometimes when something doesn't happen right, then you know, there's a reason for it. So I'm not sure why his lawyer is the way she is. I'm just kind of feel very anxious about that. And, I just feel like I need to be there to speak up for him or something. So what are you getting from that?
I feel that you need to be there as his mother, that you need to be there to support him. And I also feel that your presence shows that he has family that cares about him and that can support him. So it sends an important message to the court. I feel actually his attorney will be changed. I don't feel that this lady that has, well, it sounds like she hasn't represented him, but I don't feel that she will stay on the scene. I feel somebody else, but I don't feel you being involved in the legal process, but I feel your presence sending a message to the court that this young man has a family that cares about him and a mother who is going to work with him to help him overcome his issues. But it does feel very important that you go along.
Okay. So what are you getting on a universal sense or a spiritual sense? Is there a reason why this is all happening to him? Is there something, you know, what is it in a spiritual sense?
Let me ask. I feel that he's gone off the rails almost as a cry for help, because he's not at all clear. I feel that he's gone off the rails almost as a cry for help because he's not clear at all what he wants to do with his life. This is not a young man who has a clear direction or is able to clearly state what he wants to pursue in life. He feels lost. And I feel that anything you can do to help him get clarity about who he is, his strengths, what he wants to do with himself, that will help. Because he doesn't have a vision for his life, for his future, professionally or academically. He just doesn't have a clearly defined path, and that's what he needs help with.
Okay.
So I feel that he's manifesting problems because he's just lost. He's not clear what his role is in the world, and he needs to find that.
Okay.
I wish you lots of luck for tomorrow, and I hope that you're able to be there, and I'll think of you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you very much, then. I sure appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Good luck. Good night. Thank you.
Okay, Bobby, you're next from South Carolina. And I just want to say that if we can keep, because we have a lot of people in line, if we can just kind of keep the readings to one question, it would work out really good tonight, okay?
There we go. All right, South Carolina. And I'm just going to say, I'm sensing that the chat room name they use is Nana Power. Am I correct in this? Please tell me.
Yes, you're correct.
I am absolutely amazing. I'm telling you, I am spot on tonight. I'm kidding. It's because
yes,
I asked
you
in the chat room earlier, and you told me you're from South Carolina. So I figured
I know.
the odds were pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
What's your real name?
Deanna.
Hi, Dee. I'm glad you called in.
Well, thank you. This is my first time even listening to it, so...
Yeah, that's great. So what would you like to talk about?
Well, I'd just like to get an idea of something. I've been sick for 4 years. I've been real lightheaded and having a tightness in my chest with my breathing, and the doctors couldn't figure anything out. And 6 days ago, they took all my teeth out. I had 23 teeth left. That's why I'm kind of talking funny. They took all my teeth out and thinking that was causing it, but now it's worse. So I'm just wondering, do you see this going away soon?
Well, I try to be very honest, and sometimes my hope for people isn't necessarily what it is that I see for people. So, just so you know that sometimes there's a conflicting advice or messages that come through. I would love for this to get better for you, but I don't see it necessarily changing right away. But to put you on the path to where that starts, though. The very first inclination I got or vibration that I got when you said that was allergies. Now, I know you said the doctors checked everything, but immediately that's the vibration that I got of something around you. Now, I'm not talking just about perfumey or things like that. I think there's actually something that you're inhaling that's going directly into your lungs that's causing this. I think the teeth are just coincidental, so I wouldn't point to that. I think that sometimes we just get so desperate for answers that we'll take anything, right? Oh, it got worse after this. The mind's working constantly to put two and two together so that we can figure out what this is. But there's something that you're digesting or inhaling that's causing this, especially with the lungs. It's like this heaviness. I feel like, you know, when I get a cold or a flu, that it's real heavy in my chest like that, almost pneumonia-like. So I don't know.
I had a mercury filling in my mouth.
I'm sorry? Go ahead.
I had a mercury filling. One of the teeth had a mercury filling in it, and it was chipped off. And they thought that was filling mercury in my body.
So the inhaling, digesting, I mean, that vibrates with me. That sounds really close. And then there's about two or three other symptoms as well that I'm picking up on that you're suffering from this. So have you tried non-traditional doctors?
That was my next step. I was thinking of looking into some of those. We don't have many in South Carolina, so I was going to start looking at those.
It makes it tough, doesn't it? Because I also come from an area that didn't have a lot of external, but you can find them. You'd be amazed once you set your intention and set that vibration out to find somebody like that. You'll be surprised at how the universe collaborates to bring them out of the woodwork to you. So, what I would recommend that you do, and I don't want it to make it seem like it's magical. But what you'd want to do is set that intention of that's your next step. This is the direction. Start maybe doing a little investigation on it of who might be in your area, people that you can talk to, if there is people that you can talk to about that type of stuff. And then, you know, we just talked tonight, our show, especially the very first hour of it, would be very appropriate for you. We talked about the acupuncture, things like that, but there's so many different types of alternative doctors that you could go to. That's the area I would go to next, because I don't feel that this is anything that's necessarily stuck in your body. In other words, I think if the body was allowed to do what it does, that this would go away. You see what I mean? Sometimes we just have to right the body. In other words, we just have to allow the free the body up to heal in the way that it needs to. And some of the alternative doctors would definitely be able to do that for you, putting the body in line with healing so this stuff just would seep out of your system. Okay?
Okay.
So there is hope. There's hope for that, right? I can't, you know, some people want to know, well, when is that going to happen? just set your sights on what you're doing, and I think that it'll be completely free out of your system before the end of the year. So I think it'll be just lovely.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Again, thanks for calling in. I'm glad you chose to listen tonight.
Okay. I will definitely finish listening, and I'll be back too.
Okay, Deanna. Take care.
Thank you, Bobby. Right, that was bye. Nice. That was a nice reading. Maureen, you're next from Washington State.
Thank you. Hi, Washington State. This is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
Fine. How are you? And who am I speaking to?
Oh, I know you can guess who. Julie.
Julie, you know what? I knew that, but you know what? I just love hearing you say Julie. Hi, Julie. last I get new, and I'm going to have to explain myself again. Oh, I'm ready for you, Julie. Let me have it. Let me have it all.
Okay. I would like to know if you see the doctor I have an appointment with on February 14th, closing my claim and ordering a settlement to be paid, or if I will continue through, if my care will continue through the same claim.
Okay, yeah, it is a little bit choppy hearing people tonight, by the way. But what I hear you saying, you want to know February 14th, well, around that time, if your doctor is going to, everything will be settled in the claim that you have, right? Or you're asking me, because I have a hard time hearing, it's not just me, or you want to know, the second part was if it's okay, you would be going further and waiting would be to your best interest. Is that what I got right? What your question
basically,
was, Julie?
Yes.
Okay. Have you been okay? First of all, my feelings are this: if you've been waiting like 3 months longer than you thought for this claim, it looks like there's been a I don't know. It looks like there's been a delay. So what I'm asking you is, when you first thought of whenever that February. I think you said Valentine's Day, February 12th or 14th. What that day, I guess I'm asking you, 4 months ago, was that the time that you had, because I'm seeing something about 4 months. So have you been, 4 months ago, were you waiting to see that date would be the day that you would be reconnecting and finding out if it's going to be favorable for you? And the reason I'm asking is because it looks like there's going to be a delay. You know what? I do feel that you're going to get, it's going to go through, and I don't know which is more ideal for you. I guess I'm going to ask you this. My feelings are you would like to get this settled and done, and I do feel it's going to be very satisfying or satisfactory to what you're going to get or whatever the settle of it all is, because I feel that you're really getting drained, and I do see that you have a strength available to handle everything, but you've had to really muster up way too much more strength than you really should be giving out because it's just too much. So I do see, I absolutely see definitely it getting settled in February. Now, is that more ideal for you than what the second part of this was, of your question?
Yes, it is, because I feel that if they just pay me off, I can go and choose my own avenues.
Great.
Instead of having to stick with what, you know, they're, you know,
right. But there, yeah, exactly. Because
yeah.
I do feel that I absolutely see this happening and it's favorable. And I see you actually, now you're going to be able to make a decision that will really affect a big part of your life. I see a new home or something redone in a home that you're moving towards. It's very positive. I absolutely do. And I kind of get a feeling that you kind of know this, but you just haven't been able to look up yet because it's been hovering over you this February, like it's going to be done. And I do feel that it's going to be, yeah, I do see a trip that will be delayed as well by choice from this, which is fine. And probably because you'll be happy that you have control of your life and whatever, you know, I don't know. I really do see this fear very positive, Julie. And like I said, there is a new home feeling. And I know that you've been in transit of doing or redoing of a home. It's fantastic. You'll be able to move on. You deserve it.
Perfect.
You deserve it. This is your reading. I didn't do anything. I just gave you what you already knew. I already told you what you already knew. But this is fantastic. And it's really good. And I send you well wishes for this. You deserve it. For this to be done with. And yes, absolutely.
Thank you,
Julie, for all that you do.
Thank you, Maureen. That was a great reading.
She's a great woman, too.
Brenda.
Thanks, Julie.
Wow. It kept fading in and out. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it's hard to tonight. There's a little bit of a technical issue.
There is. Okay, I'm next again from Washington State. Hello, Washington State.
Hi, this is Becca. How are you?
Hi, Becca. What can I do for you this evening?
Well, just I've been dealing for I'm 48 for about 42 years with a health issue that after numerous tests and procedures, they still don't know what the problem is. It definitely has affected my quality of life and my entire life. And I don't know, I just was wondering if you'd be able to get a feeling if it was something that was emotionally related or congenital. And that way I could know what direction I can take for the proper treatment, because it's been going on much too long. And frankly, they don't know, the doctors do not know what it is. And then definitely treating this and taking care of it would certainly improve my quality of life and not restrict me to the things that I would like to do.
Well, I have to tell you, honestly, when I look into it, it feels like there are there's many layers to the illness. But I'm also seeing that I don't see any clear diagnosis, that they may not even really know what it is. And I also, when I look into it, see that there's a cycle with this, and it gets better, gets worse, get better, gets worse. One of the things that I'm seeing here is you kind of getting in touch with yourself on maybe some spiritual levels and looking for some different types of treatments rather than traditional treatments. And through that, it looks like you're going to be going through in the next 3 to 4 months, you'll get better, you get worse, get better, get worse, but the times that you'll have your down times look less. And it just really feels like it's going to require some kind of sacrifice, you know, even with, you know, your lifestyle and things that you're doing. And it's, and you may think, well, you know, how can I get better if I can't even get out of, you know, start to exercise? It's almost like you've got to get to that point and force yourself into something. There is going to have to be a sacrifice to make this happen. And I really feel that I'm getting psychically that it has to do with moving your body. Is it hard for you to move around or exercise?
It generally, no, except for lately, yes. There's been a lot of things going on with my body. In fact, there's a lot of changes, not necessarily actual physical changes, but it feels like they're manifesting because of a bunch of the psychological or psychic and emotional changes that are going along, and the physical things are manifesting because of that. That's what it feels like.
Well, so it's coming from a bit of, trouble. The heart. It's coming from the heart area is what I see. And if a lot of that is cleared up, and because it's multidimensional, I feel that working on both of those at the same time, you have to let go of something, and letting go of something which will be your sacrifice, it looks like you're going to be able to, I see it getting better. I feel summertime is going to be a time when you go, wait a minute, you know, I'm not feeling these symptoms like I have felt in the past, is what I see. So I do see a light at the end of the tunnel, and you've seen a little bit of it before, but then it goes away. But I see this time, particularly this year, I see you getting some relief.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I guess my main thing was I kind of had a feeling that, and I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because I know the other callers, a lot of it might be possibly emotionally related. And I understand that about having to let go into the heart area, that's definitely something that I do need to work on. So that does make sense.
Well, it's about finding your self-love again. And nurturing that, and you're going to see it radiates out from there, honey.
Fantastic.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Bye-bye. Okay, Steve, you're next from Indiana.
Thank you, Brenda. Who's calling from Indiana?
Hi, Steve.
Hello. What's your name?
Hey, just wondering about the love life thing. Is it still on track, or what do you see?
Okay, what's your name?
It's Leah.
Leah. Or an angel okay, in Leah. Let's see. I feel when I tune into you, I feel as though adversity brings you closer to the person you're most interested in, but it doesn't feel like adversity on your side of the fence. It feels like challenges for the other person, and I'm drawn towards March, April. I feel as though this person you're interested in starts to really set their sights upon what they want in the month of February. Mm-hmm. But it feels to me that in the middle of February, around the 16th, circumstances start to change in this person's life. And this person has some real emotional lows. But I feel that triggers the two of you coming close again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
It's as though, I'm not sure whether it's this other person's in a relationship that falls apart, or they lose their home or something like that, but something's afoot for the middle of February, and for this person, it will seem like a great adversity, but actually it's the dissolution of circumstances that are just not serving this person, and it leads them onto a path that is far better for them, but they have to go through a lot of change and work through issues and take some criticism for some reason. It feels as though they have to take criticism from another person, not you, another person. But then it does get resolved, and then I feel March picks up and April is much better. That's what I feel.
Okay? Yeah. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome, Leah. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Steve. That was a great reading.
Thank you.
Bobby, you have a caller from Illinois.
Hello, Illinois.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Yes, Bobby, I have a love relationship question. My boyfriend's name is Keith. And I just really want to know how Keith feels about me and what his intentions are for our relationship.
Have you been going out with him a long time? Because it feels new to me, or just feels like we haven't gone into anything serious. You know what I mean? Like, if you guys have been going out for 2 years, it doesn't feel like it's gotten really any point serious. But if you've only been going out for a little while, that would make sense.
We've been going out for about 8 months now, and it has not developed the way I thought it would. We've been real slow. Both of us have previously been divorced. So we've been going really slow to see how it goes. And I just want to know what, you know, his intentions were, or where it is going right now.
Absolutely, because I mean, it's time, isn't it? It's for you, and you're starting to think more seriously about it. And unfortunately, I don't think he's thinking as serious about it. I think that's why I'm kind of picking up on this. You know what I mean? Like there's just this layer that he hasn't crossed. You know what I mean? And it's not. Okay. It would be different if he did cross that barrier and go in a little bit deeper into the relationship with you, but he hasn't. And I don't necessarily see him crossing that barrier. You know what I mean? So,
okay.
I mean, unfortunately, I just want to be honest with you, but I just think it's just a surface type relationship for him, and that kind of shallow. And you are such, you know, as I look more and kind of tune into you more, you know, there's a lot of richness and deepness in you that I feel that you have held back or haven't been necessarily able to show in the past 8 months. Like, all of it's just sitting there, And in my experience, when all of that just sits there, it becomes really stagnant, and then other things really start to lose their flavor and color, you know what I mean, around you. I don't think you can afford to let that happen. I wouldn't let anybody do that to you. And I think, again, you're getting to that point. That's why you're asking about this now, you know what I mean, to see if he's going to go farther into the relationship or not. So good for you for finally coming up, but unfortunately, I don't feel that he's gonna want to make that commitment, you know, like what you're wanting from him.
Okay, Dan. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye. Take care.
Thank you, Bobby. Sure. That was good. Okay, Maureen. You have a call from New York. It's our last call.
Well, that's just lovely. Hello. Hi, New York. I love New York. Hi, New York.
New York, right? My name is Miriam.
I'm sorry, what was your name?
Miriam.
Miriam. Hi, Miriam. And what can I help? What can I focus in on for you?
What's that?
What may I help you with? And what can I help? Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. I need lots of help. Money, much. No. I have a question about, okay, I've had a weight problem, and years ago I had the lap band, and last year I was so slim and happy, and it was with my insurance. I had to change hospitals, and the hospice, my insurance had run out, so I went on to another insurance at the clinic. And they messed up my lap band that I had gained like 60 pounds within a few months. And I'm supposed to have surgery again. You know, I went back to the original place.
Right.
So it's not fun. And, you know, and I'm trying to get, you know, I have Medicare.
Right.
And I'm supposed to get another insurance to pick up the copay, and I want to know, is it all going to turn out okay? Am I going to have
If you're going to prevail and get this, them to do right by you is what you're asking, correct?
Yes. And yeah, I had a little bit of a heart issue, and I don't want it to affect the surgery. No, you know, I don't think I'm dying yet.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry that you've gone through that. So I understand it's part of the insurance stuff and all this stuff. And it's really, you know, everybody, go to England or go to the UK. Steve would know this. Their medical, the way they do things is much more authentically how it should be done to us human beings. You know, I do feel you're going to be good. You're going to. I don't want to prevail. I sound like Judge Judy. This is going to be favorable for you. Now, I do feel that you have somebody that's pretty much on your side. Do you have any advocate or counsel or anybody that's helping you with this?
Lord, yes, I do. I have Senator Klein.
Okay. I do feel that you have some really good, there's some good counsel going on for you, which is the key thing here. I absolutely see, you know what, take care of yourself. I feel that, you know what, your expectations are so high of yourself. I just want to point this out. All the stuff that's happening, this is not your, you know, you set out to do an objective to do something for yourself that was really good and decent and respectable towards yourself. The best thing I feel is you'll have victory in this. I do see this within the next 3 months. I could be off on my time, but that's what I'm getting. And I do feel that you can kind of see it right. But I think there's some, like I said, the counsel or advocate or someone that's with you right now that's helping you. Is fantastic, and that's the main thing. But I do feel that you start getting really down on yourself, and I just wanted to point this out. I know this does go into the reading a bit. You're too hard on yourself because you expect yourself to be superhuman, and you can't be. There's nothing that you did wrong, and you get depressed, and nobody will know it. You don't show it, and I really am encouraging you to to turn yourself around. There's nothing that you could – this stuff happens when you get into the system of all this stuff. But I do feel that everything's going to go really well, and you will it will be fine. It will be fine. Not only fine, you will be – I see you later healthy, and I see you doing something in a new building, but everything will be really – it'll work out fine. Unfortunately, you had to go through this, but I do feel that you will – everything will be as it should, and it will be a comfortable thing. It won't be tormenting, but I'm just worried about you. You need to really know that so you don't get too down, okay?
Yeah.
That's worrisome. Yeah, that's just worrisome. Because you can't expect – your expectations shouldn't be so high on yourself. You know, come on, you're being too hard. Be decent to yourself. Be decent. And respect yourself, and keep that in mind, because this everything will go as planned. But you really, I worry looking at your energy you're in, and nobody knows it. And you can pull off everything. You're fantastic, but you can't expect too much of yourself. Be gentle and nice and kind. And I see this to be you're going to be everything's going to work out as it should, and it's good. I see you will not be disappointed.
Yeah, I had so much trouble too with my son, and he's old, and he's with a woman that she doesn't want him to have contact with me. I'm his mother, you know, that's my only son, and I can't see him because this is her, you know. I can't understand why he wants a woman like that, you know.
I'm so sorry. So you're really getting. That's the last thing. That's sad. So you're saying your son is the person he's with now. He's detached. Is that true? I hear you saying.
Yeah.
You know, I see him. I see him as a. You know, he looks like a person that would be a very workaholic type when he works, and then he fizzles out. Then he's not working. It looks like But I don't see that this. Who, he's not married to her. He's just a girlfriend or part. But, okay, they're not married, right? Okay, so I don't see her to be such a. In fact, get a load of this. I don't see her to be a really big part of whether it sounds ridiculous or not. And in the months ahead, I see there's a lot of change that's going to go on between the fact that I see them maybe not really as attached as they are. So your son may be coming back into your life, but I do see him that he might be not working when he does, but that's okay. I really feel you're going to reconnect, and right now that's even harder because what you're going through. I'm sorry, that is sad. You know, sometimes you want to just kick him, but I guess this is his lesson, and he'll get it. But I don't see that woman around.
That's very good. Yeah, I said, what time it is? And I just have to get over this right now. You know, that's the thing.
And you are doing exactly what you should be. There's nothing more I can see you're doing. The only thing you're doing is harm to yourself when you get so down that you feel that you could do more or done this or that. You're doing exactly the appropriate and reasonable thing that you're doing. And anything legal around you, anything to do with anything legal or anything of just is favorable in your court, in your – is that the word to put it? It surrounding your whole life. Your son's involved. It's like anything legal or any fairness of things. I see positive outcome in your favor.
And,
definitely.
And just knowing that I am going to have that surgery, because it does have to be repaired. You know, they can't leave.
Right. And I see that. And I see you're going to get a good person to be doing that. They're going to make sure of it. They don't want to mess with you on this. For reasons,
yeah,
you know.
The best doctor in New York City, Dr. Shaw, he's the best in Lenox Hill. And,
you're going to be treated very well, because what happened wasn't right, and I think you deserve to be treated well, but this will be you will not have any – I don't see you being unhealthy or in any problems if something went wrong, and I do feel that you're going – and they're going to be very careful, and it's all – everything is in your favor, definitely, and you deserve it. It's not just you were trying to do this or that. It wasn't your doing at all.
I want to get into those skinny jeans again. I mean, you know.
Yes. I want to get my skinny jeans again, too. I think you're going to get into your skinny jeans, and even more than that, you're going to be looking – you know what? You deserve this, and this is people like this that do this. You're going to be more than that. you're going to thrive, and it will. And you deserve it. After so much I see in the past that's gone on, and this is something, and then you come across this lesson. But I guess it's just some lesson. But you're going to be looking really great, and you're going to be feeling inwardly wonderful, and maybe not be too hard on yourself anymore. Okay.
Thanking you so much.
Well, thank you. Bless your heart. You're a kind, kind woman, and your son will be back around, and I'd kick his butt a little bit, but it'll be okay.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Well, hey, Maureen, have you mentioned about her moving?
I didn't say that part. But if you
Okay. No, I was just thinking moving, not sorry to step in. No, I thought
I like that. Go on, Bobby.
Oh, gotcha. No, just in the near future. It's not far, but probably like in 3 to 4 months or so. Just very simple.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
That was going to be wonderful.
I'm glad, Bobby, you intervened, because, you know, that just helps the reading for her altogether. And, you know, you would deserve that, too. It's like having – you're going to have a coming out party, you know, debutante, like that feeling.
Finally get in those skinny jeans for your move. Yay.
Thank you so much for calling, and you're a wonderful woman.
Thank you so much. I really appreciated this. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye. All She's right, lovely. Bye-bye. No, Bobby, thank you for stepping in. That was great. We used to do that in the old part of the.
I wasn't sure about that, but that was nice. That was a good reading, Maureen.
Well, I meant every word of it. You know, she's.
Well, it was very sincere, and we can tell. You know, yeah. You were coming from the heart on that one, definitely. Yeah.
Thank you, Brenda.
Very compassionate. Well, I'm going to try this again. I mean, I don't know why I wanted to wrap up so early before. I was just excited about the show.
You were having an egg Friday.
I used to do that in my shows early. Like, if I felt I couldn't top the rest of the hour, I'm like, yeah, no, we're done.
Anyhow, I want to thank Doug again. He's the czar behind the scenes. He keeps us on track. He's our executive producer, and we give all our kudos to him. And Steve, can you tell us again about the show next week, your show?
Absolutely. We have Heidi Goodrich, and she's going to be talking about psychic clearing. So really identifying the issues and the elements within our personalities that hold us back. So how to identify those and really clear them so that we become empowered and able to create what we want in the future. She's also an expert on dating and finding compatible partners, so she's going to be talking to us about that very popular subject as well. She's great.
Oh, can't wait. Well, good. We're gonna have another fabulous show next week. Okay, well,
darn it.
Good night, everybody.
good night, everybody. Good night. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.